The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hey, this is Trevor Miner, listening to the Mickey Miles Podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's show.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 425 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Michael Scopa, and with me on the show is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
Getting close to Halloween, my favorite holiday.
It is? That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite holiday. I like giving out the candy, though.
Oh.
Don't like the dressing up.
Do you like giving out shout-outs?
I do, and this one is to a Georgia friend of ours. Well, he's not a friend of ours, but he's a friend of the show. His name is Caleb Roby. And Caleb is training for the Dopey, and he posted a selfie on our Facebook page. He ran 17 miles.
Wow.
I am very, very jealous because I still can't run, and I'm trying to train for Goofy. But anyway.
Why can't you train? To let everybody know?
The can't whole story? Yeah, can't get a deferral. Because I had my shoe off on the plane, and somebody came by with hiking boots and stepped on my toe and broke my toe. I could feel the bones crushing in my toe, and it's still swollen.
It's been after 3 weeks.
3 weeks, yeah, three it's still weeks, swollen. So yeah,
keep it going.
It was bad. It was bad. The Aer Lingus ladies, flight attendants, came over and helped me. But speaking in their Irish brogue, but it still hurt.
Speaking of Irish, also on the show is
Mick Eliopoulos.
Chris Eliopoulos. Hello, Chris.
That's Mick Eliopoulos.
Greek-Irish, though, right? Yeah.
Actually, my mother's side, I'm English, Irish, German, and Scottish on my mother's side. So, yes, I do have a little bit of Irish in me.
There you go.
Top of the morning to you.
And the rest of the afternoon for myself.
Yeah.
Chris, you got a song?
Sure. By your favorite band, Blink-182, What's My Age Again?
Sounds like an optometrist.
What's my age?
What's my age again?
What's my age again?
I thought that was
no Blink 182.
Okay.
Blink 182.
It's tip time with Mike Scopa.
It's tip time.
So everyone always tries to figure out where they should stand for a parade in one of the Walt Disney World theme parks. I try not to give away my secret places, but I give you one. In the Animal Kingdom, if you want to stand in a very good spot, to watch the parade in the Animal Kingdom, my suggestion is to stand right across from Tamu Tamu, and you will see a parade pass you not once but twice, and that's all I'm going to say. Wow. Okay?
Tease.
So on today's show, I have put together several questions to pose to Chris and Michelle. They vary from Run Disney questions to Disney World, Disney questions in general. And I'm going to ask both Michelle and Chris to give me what percentage they think these things will come true. And also, I want each of you, when you give me your percentage, to back it up with why you think so. Okay?
And just as a thing, we have not heard these questions before. At least I haven't. I don't know about Michelle.
Michelle hasn't. Nobody has seen them. I have.
Okay. So this is been on
sealed in a safe.
On Funkin' Wagnalls, you know. In a sealed medical medically sealed jar on Funkin' Wagnalls' porch. This is an old Johnny Carson thing.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
I watched Seth Meyers. That's right. Yeah. Johnny Carson.
Okay. First question. The first question.
Wait, let's open up the.
There's the safe. Michelle, two armed guards are coming.
Read the.
This is like the Academy Awards.
Let's see how many.
Let's see how many of these we can get through in a 30-minute show. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, Michelle, you get the first one. You ready?
All right. So I need to give the percentage and my rationale.
Whew, okay. Shake it out.
What do you think? Do you think that we will ever see the return of the Run Disney registration frenzy that we have seen in the past, whereby on registration day, the registration fills up within an hour? Do you think, what is the percentage of that ever happening again?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Yes, you may.
Do you mean in general for all the races or for one particular race?
For any races.
I would say if it's an inaugural race with a theme that is popular, like the Muppets, I would say 90% chance, but not across the board the way it has been. I think there's a very little chance across the board for the way it has been for the past 3 or 4 years.
Would you say that it could happen for any of the existing race weekends, or no? Will it ever happen again?
I'm trying to think of what would make it, like, you know, would it, if the price went down? No, I don't think
that. If they tweaked it a little bit, maybe? Like they tweaked
Wine
and Dine?
Something.
They tweaked Wine and Dine and that worked.
A medal, like Chris Eliopoulos designed the medal, or, woo, you know, if it's a crazy, you know, there's some anniversary races coming up. Other than that, I just don't think
special
it's...
Special medal, no.
I think it's, if it's a really special medal or a special destination, there's a high chance. But other than that, no.
So 90% if it's
90% if it's an inaugural race, and if it's with theming that has, we've not seen before.
And if it's not an inaugural race, what percent?
20%.
20%.
Yeah.
Chris, what about you?
I'm up there with Michelle. I think, yeah, like you said, or here's another thing. What if they finally get it through their thick skulls and they cut down on entrance amounts, like the how many people can sign up, which they'll never do, but
no.
Again, we could do a percentage of that one. When do you think they'll ever do that? Yeah, I would probably say 80 to 85 if we're talking about a new theme or a new multi-race run, so like, you know, like a goofy or dopey, but like something new at, you know, at events that were well themed. But it seems like we've gotten past the honeymoon stage. Now we're into the, all right, let's settle down and have some kids stage of the Run Disney.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes, you may.
So today at the Merrimack, New Hampshire Outlet Malls, I got 2 pairs of Run Disney shoes for $70 total.
New Balance.
Yeah, right. The New Balance outlet store. One of the pairs of shoes was $170.
Wow.
Originally priced. So I got 2 pairs for $70.
And those were ones everybody was like buying, like,
exactly,
immediately.
You had to have so somebody's comment on, I posted this on Facebook, was, you know, the thrill is over. That's the reason why that this is, you know, casualty of war, where Run Disney has, you know, kind of overpriced and maybe oversaturated, and the shoes are maybe one symptom of this whole thing. But I don't know about that. But I was thrilled to get them. But I would never have paid $170 for either one of these pairs of shoes. But
yeah,
it was pretty amazing.
Yep.
You know, the Cinderella shoes were $40. I ended up getting them for like $16 off or something.
Yeah,
like
2 years ago, this would have been unheard of. So, all right, next one. I'm going to ask Chris to comment first on this one.
Mm-hmm.
This month, October 2016, about a week or two ago, maybe about a week ago, the Electrical Light Parade did its final appearance in the Magic Kingdom. So my question is, what do you think the percentage is for the Magic Kingdom to have a new nighttime parade make a debut before the first day of Flower and Garden?
Wow. Oh, God. Normally, they don't pull these things together really quick. When's the beginning of Flower Garden?
I would say it's May? Late February, early March, maybe.
Oh, okay. Oh, God. I don't think that they have it in them to... You know what? I'm going to say about 20%, and I will tell you why, because I think lately it's been about pulling things and not adding things to the Disney parks. Sad to say. Like, I don't see a lot of new things coming up that are replacing old things, or something new entirely for the sake of plussing it. So I think they're going to go for a little while and see if anybody notices a difference. So I'm going to say like 20%.
Michelle?
I don't think I have anything to add to Chris's thing. I would agree with him, about 20%. What about you?
Oh, me? I think that if they were going to, I think that they have plans already in place. Otherwise, they would not. I don't think that they would. I don't think that they would get rid of a parade or something like this unless they had something in the wings waiting. It very well could be. I believe it's called Night Magic out in Disneyland. I do feel that something will happen between now and Flower and Garden. We may not hear anything until maybe January or so. So I'm saying, I'm thinking it's about a 60 to 65% chance that we will see something. All right.
Let's Such faith.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith. All right, Michelle, I will give you the next one. It's a running question. Run Disney question. Do you think we will ever see in our lifetime an opportunity to buy race insurance for a Run Disney event?
Interesting question. So since we've been talking about this, several people have emailed me different options. And one of the people who emailed me was my friend Justin from Everett. And he gave me a link for something called registrationsaver.com. And he said that you can, he thought that you could use that for a Run Disney event. It's about 6%. It says protect your marathon fee and related travel costs. It looks like it's not Run Disney specific, but it looks like people have found a business and done this another. Maybe this has existed for years and we're just looking at these options. But I think if Run Disney will not do it, somebody else already has done it. And since somebody has done it, Run Disney will do it because they don't want to lose that money. So I would say there is a 85% chance, because in the past when things like this have happened where somebody is doing something and Disney or Run Disney finds out about it, they want to get in on the business. For example, the photo passes, right? That used to be, was Marathon Photo or some other photo company. Now Run Disney is doing it with the photo pass, which makes sense. They already have the infrastructure there. So I think there's a very good chance that they will offer it, because I think that it's a way for them to make money, but also turn around this bad publicity that they've gotten.
I want to pose another question to you and Chris, but after I hear Chris's take on this. Chris?
Yeah, I was actually thinking the same thing with you, Michelle. Usually what they do is they see somebody else do something better. Like the one I was thinking was the Lines app, and where they were telling us wait times, and all of a sudden Disney came out with their own app giving out the official times. So yeah, they're going to find a way to put somebody else out of business to get what they – so they make the money. Like, yeah, they want to, you know, bring it all to themselves. So I'm thinking, yeah, like 90%, I think they're going to start offering that at some point.
Okay, here's one more follow-up question. If Run Disney knew somehow, if they were guaranteed that by offering – race insurance on every race, that this would bring back the frenzy, do you think they would do it in a blink of an eye?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Because even if they offered it, I don't know, I think it'll just give people the extra confidence to sign up. They may not follow through with even claiming the insurance, but definitely. Chris?
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the opposite. I think a lot of the reason that sales have gone down has nothing to do with, I mean, this is just recent where they did the whole deferral.
Right.
They've gone down because the price going up by the amount of, you know, costs of things. I think that has caused the dip, not necessarily the deferrals. I think some people might feel the need. I don't think it's going to make that come about where you're going to have like the mass pandemonium on the first day. Mm-hmm. So that's my take.
I agree. I think it's a good point.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one. And this is, I don't know if either one of you are aware of this one. I'll ask Chris first.
Oh,
so
thanks.
In 1 month, Disney Hollywood Studios will find the debut of something called Jingle Bell Jingle Bam. And what that's going to be is it's going to replace the Star Wars Nighttime Spectacular.
No!
And it's going to be a very special Christmas show. And with all kinds of imagery and fireworks and images on the great movie ride attraction building. And so my question is, Chris, to you first, does this mean that, let me ask you this, on a percentage basis, what do you think that this is going to replace the Osbournes and that we'll never see the Osborne lights again? Let me put it another way.
Yeah, keep putting it another way.
Yeah. What do you think is the percentage of this replacing the Osborne lights permanently and we'd never see the Osborne lights again?
Wow. So
it's going to be
Jingle
like...
Bam?
It's,
wait, what is Jingle Bam?
After that?
It's called Jingle Bell.
Jingle Bam.
Jingle Bam, okay. Well,
what does that mean?
And it's just like the castle show at the Magic Kingdom, except it's...
I know, but what's the... What Jingle
Christmas.
Bam?
It's a Christmas theme. It's a Christmas...
Oh, what is Bam? What does Bam mean? Like, I'm thinking like Pebbles and
yeah,
Bam.
Yeah, like Bam Bam. It's
the only
Bam,
thing I was thinking of is, do you remember those... What was it? It was a Pixar that they did the elves, the DVD.
Yeah.
All right, but didn't the brothers go like bam or something like that? That's the only thing I was thinking of.
Just think of a Christmas show on the, you know, it's mutant Christmas.
Yeah, Disney you Christmas know, I think it's a temporary dopey stupid thing while they have no rides in that park until 2018, and they're just trying to make it up as they go along. No one's gonna come for like. The people who came for Osborne lights, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And now you're going to see a light show on a side of a building?
Well, in all fairness, you haven't seen the new Star Wars. It is not just the side of a building. No, it is really a 180 experience. I mean,
But he said this is going to replace the Star Wars.
No, what I'm saying is the technology is there now for it to be much more than it's not just on the great the Chinese
yeah,
theater.
I mean, they can. I believe, and I'm just thinking that they could do something like this really fast. You know, they put together a couple images, splice together some
bam.
Video, some bam, you know, some
bam.
You know, it's not like they've never done a Christmas display thing. But the question is, does this replace the Osbournes? So, tough question.
I'm gonna say 50%. No, I just figured it'd be safe that way. I don't think it's going to replace Osborne. I don't know if we're going to see Osborne again.
Well, then it would replace it, right?
Well, he's saying, will Osborne come back instead? And this is going to replace it forever? I don't know if it's going to replace it forever. I think it's probably just the temporary while they get this park up and running again. I mean, they could always do the Star Wars holiday special and run that on. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's like the worst piece of garbage TV show Christmas special you've ever seen.
It's very kitschy, isn't it?
Oh my God, it's awful. It's like Bea Arthur is a bartender in this thing. It's absolutely awful. Art Carney is in it. It's like what?
Norton.
That I would go to see that one if they ran that one. I'd probably go see that.
We could get the old Golden Girls house back yep. from the backlot tour.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Oh God. Does this replace?
What's the chance of it replacing Osborne?
Forever. I think there's a better chance of it replacing Osborne because I don't think they're going to bring Osborne back there anyway. If they may bring it somewhere else.
It's kind of like two separate questions.
Yeah, I mean, they could bring back Osborne at, you know, Disney Springs, or they could bring it somewhere else and show it. But I don't know if this is going to be a permanent thing. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this new one, I think this is just a temporary Christmas run while the park's under construction. So
I have to agree with Chris. I think this is people are going to be wanting some Christmassy thing. They're trying to pull people in. I happen to think the Star Wars fireworks are really still pulling people in, if the summer is any indication, because they are awesome. And I'm a Star Wars fan, but not like Chris is a Star Wars fan. I would go see that thing 7 nights in a row. I mean, it was that good. So I think it will pull in the people who aren't necessarily fans of Star Wars and they want to, you know, make them stay in the park a little bit later. I have doubts as to whether Disney wants to pay Osborne whatever they pay them to use the Osborne lights. Maybe they'll do some other type of thing like that, but I don't think it's a replacement. I don't think Osborne is coming.
Why are they being purposely like obtuse about the jingle bam? Like, what does it mean? Just oh god, just name it.
Maybe
something
bam
normal.
Is, the fireworks.
Jingle bell, jingle bam.
Can you imagine that? That
is that what
you're around
the
desk?
Fireworks?
That's the actual name.
Know.
That's going to be the name. You'll start hearing it pretty soon.
How about jingle bell, jingle bam.
Jingle bell, jingle bam, jingle. Oh, whatever.
Yeah, I'm
what
at a loss.
What do you think, Mike?
What do I think? I think the Osbournes will come back. I think the only problem is going to be what venue will they use in the studios, because I don't know. I think that it's a it's something that has been very much, even though it's been around for, I don't know how many, 12, 14 years, only 12, 14 years, it's a part of Disney World that a lot of people remember growing up, and I don't think that replacing it with something like this is, there's something traditional about the Osborne lights that I think, you know, tradition plays a big part, and I think it's going to come back.
I don't think Disney probably looked at it that way, but...
You know, I mean, you could almost put the Osborne lights all around World Showcase and play it out at night. I don't know. I mean, no, maybe they wouldn't, because they have the...
Well, they want to make money, so yeah. They want to make money off it. That's the problem.
Yeah, the candlelight procession.
I mean, you're getting... Really, what you were getting at Hollywood Studios is you're getting the locals coming to see the lights at night. They've got annual passes. They're not making any extra money for doing this work. You know, that's why they pulled it, I think. I mean, obviously, other than the building of everything, but...
And the other thing, Chris, is that the Osborne lights, I mean, I've been down there at Christmas time a lot, and the Osborne lights keep going for about an hour and a half. I mean, it's not just a 45-minute show or a 20-minute show, and that's it.
Yeah.
I've been down there with friends for like 2 hours in that area of the park, and they just keep going over and over and over again. So that's not going to be replaced by just a light show, and that's not going to...
One time a night?
Exactly. Yeah. So I really think that they're going to come back. All right, let's stick with Disney, and let me see. Michelle, I'm going to give you first crack at this one. There is a new, recently, Disney Transportation opened up an opportunity for guests to take buses from the theme parks to Disney Springs. It happened a few months ago. I think it was a few months ago. So you can get on a bus from Epcot and go to Disney Springs. However, you can't go back to Epcot. You have to go to a resort. You cannot take a bus from Disney Springs to a theme park. That is not present right now. So here's the question. No?
The question's why?
The question is, do you think that within a year they will change that so that you can take a bus from Disney Springs to a theme park?
Well, I'm trying to think of the reason why they wouldn't do that. Is it because people could park at Disney Springs for free and then go to a resort and save the money on parking?
Could very well be the reason.
Yeah, so I think there's 0% chance. Because that parking's pretty cool. Chris, have you seen those parking garages?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
And they're actually adding another one, too, from what I understand.
Yeah, they are. So you can, I mean, it saves you time because you can go right up to the parking spot really, really quickly.
Right.
So why would you spend the, what is it now, $20?
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
$20 an hour, who knows?
Yeah, no, the inconvenience of going back to a resort and then going to the theme park, I would say very little chance.
Good answer.
Yeah, thank you.
Chris,
because I mean, think about it. If people started doing that, all those parking spots would be filled up like crazy.
Yes.
No need for that.
I didn't even think of it from that
premium
end.
Parking.
Now we don't have any. All that new parking at Disney Springs. Now it's all gone.
Yeah. And nobody's going to buy that premium parking up at the park. So, yeah, I'm thinking they ain't sending you back there. Plus, it's like, isn't it like a Disney tradition? After you go on a ride, they take you through a store, so a gift shop. So, like, this is basically the bigger version of it. You go to the parks, and then they take you out through the gift shop down into Disney Springs.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike? What are you thinking?
I am with Michelle. I think that it's the it's revenue driven. They will take you from a theme park to Disney Springs because you're going there to spend money, but they would lose money parking wise if they allowed guests to take buses from Disney Springs to the theme park. So we'll see. We'll see.
Imagine if a family did that for a week. Yeah. They're staying on property. That's a big chunk of change. Yep.
That's true. Okay, here's a question, Chris. This is for you first. It's a Run Disney question, and it's something that I was thinking about and possibility might happen. We have the Dopey that is run in January in Walt Disney World. If you go to Disneyland, you know, they've had 5Ks, they've had 10Ks, and they have had half marathons. Do you think that there's a possibility somewhere in the back rooms of the Run Disney brain powers that they are putting together some kind of a Seven Dwarfs challenge where you run the four races at Walt Disney World, which would be the Dopey in January, and then you go out to Disneyland and once during out there, one of the four race weekends out there, they will have a 5K, a 10K, and a half out there, and if you complete those three during the same 12-month period as you completed the Dopey, you would get a special Seven Dwarfs Challenge medal. Do you think that there's a possibility?
Are you giving out free ideas for that?
Well, I mean,
this is what Mike thinks about in his four-hour commute.
So, yeah, right? So here it is, Chris. Do you think that there's a? I guess the. Do you think there's a possibility that they would put together some type of a challenge that links Dopey with something out in the West Coast, to generate interest?
Yeah, I would look. I think this is the point we're talking about. Is they're trying to keep getting interest and goes all the way back to our first question. What's the percentage of it selling out quickly? You present a challenge like that, you start getting those elite runners who are really looking for the big challenge. If it makes them money, they will do it. So I would say if somebody said to them, let's try this, I think they would. 75% positive they would do something like this. It would help with sales and make some money for them. I mean, it's a fun idea. You see, and especially an inaugural one, it would sell out in a day, right? I mean, I don't know how they would do it logistically, though. Like, would you have to sign up at the Disney World Dopey and then, like, set up, like, some kind of, like, I'm going to be doing the Seven Dwarfs Challenge? And then they'd have to make sure that they paid for it up front or they, you know, like, that kind of thing. Then, of course, then we get into talking about our other question, which was, like, deferrals and insurance. So what happens if you get through four and then you want to go do the Disneyland and you get injured? You know, it's like there's a whole lot of questions involved in that one.
Well, you'd have four chances to do the triple out there in Disneyland. But, yeah, right. that's a good point. Michelle?
But, which, you know, what if you don't get the one you want to do and that you've
That's true.
But look, if they can make money, they'll make money. Sorry, Michelle, you go.
You know, I think that you should work for Run Disney because you have a lot of creative ideas. I'm not thinking that this is a thing that's going to happen, Mike, because I think they already are doing pretty well on the coast to coast. They have the pink coast to coast for the women, the races for women, the princess themed races. You know, and I think about, would I do this? I guess I'm probably not the typical runner. I don't think I would.
But for those who have done Dopey in the past who have said, you know, I'm not going to do it anymore. This, the lure of the bling.
Yeah.
You know, the L of the B. L-O-B.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have done Dopey. It doesn't.
But I guess the question, do you think that they might be thinking about something like this?
I would say little chance.
Little chance?
I would say 25% chance.
Okay.
Chris, what was your percentage?
I said 75 if there's a chance of making money on it.
Yep.
That's the key, Chris.
What money. Do you think, Michael?
I think that there's something in the works to link the two coasts together because you could get coast to coast and dwarf to dwarf or whatever you want to call it. So, challenge to challenge. I think that they're thinking of whatever small wrinkle they can put into a challenge. And they know that there are runners out there that, I mean, they go from those who are just trying to get their first 5K under their belt to those who really need a challenge. And there are a lot of ultra runners out there. So I think it's at least what Chris said, if not higher.
Okay.
All right, last question. Let me see. This may be kind of easy, but in January, there's one particular attraction that
2%.
Is... 2%. Oh, you're going to regret
what you said. Oh, not that easy?
There's an attraction in the Magic Kingdom that is closed for refurbishment, usually for 6 months following an election. And that's the Hall of Presidents. Oh, so the Hall of Presidents will be closed in late January, maybe no later than February. And it will be closed until probably August because they need to do some changes. Sure. They need to refurbish. So my question to you, Chris Iliopoulos, is what is the chance that the Hall of Presidents will see its first female audio animatron on stage?
Does he read the 538? 538
block? Exactly what I did. I went right to the site. 86.3 today. That's my percentage. I follow him.
Blog. What a shock. I told Mike about that. He didn't know about that, that blog.
He's laying down the odds, baby.
Yeah.
You say the same thing, Michelle?
I got to go with the 538 blog. Yeah, 80. Well, it depends on if the election was held today or but it was like 86 point something or 87 point something today.
So my guess is that
0.3 right now.
Okay.
My guess is that the it's not going to be a question of from the neck down, it's going to be a question of the neck up as far as what they're planning on doing. They probably have the body's all set.
He's talking like the actual mechanics.
The mechanics, the audio animatrons.
I was like, where's he going with this one?
Goodness.
So all they need to do is they're working, and they're probably working on the faces right now. And
I think there's some differences from the neck down.
Once they have that ready, then whoever wins goes into office, and then as president, that person will say.
So what you're saying is the candidates look the same from the neck down.
I'm sure that somebody they have audio animatrons for certain female characters that they could use for her, and they have designs on. They might have some that they use for men,
so like Cleopatra,
like Woodrow Wilson. Not Woodrow Wilson. I'm going to say like Cleopatra. You know. So like Ulysses S. Grant, they can use that for Trump, and they can use
one of the telephone operators in Spaceship Earth is going to be Hillary Clinton.
But it sounds like you two.
They should get Foxy Brown for Hillary.
I think it's 100%. It's going to be
right. Isn't that what the one in Spaceship Earth is called? She's called Foxy Brown.
Oh my God!
The computer.
Yeah.
Person?
Oh yeah, Foxy Brown. Yeah. Oh, in the computer room.
Well, at least that's what it says on Pokemon on the game.
I think it's 100%. So. But I just thought I'd throw that out there because of those of you who are thinking about the Hall of Presidents, it's going to be closed for about 6 months as they put in a new president.
They have
to move the sitting president, who is Barack Obama, and then they have to put in his place.
He's actually standing, but
he's standing, but you know, but he, and then they have to put in his place his successor. And I think that I think we're all in agreement as to who it's going to be, but. It's going to be interesting.
Just,
it's going to be.
We just lost half our listeners.
Yeah, we just lost half. No, we're just
44% of our
listeners. We're predicting what we understand and see and hear and read, and so. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So, anyways, that's percentages from the Mickey Miles and More podcast.
Well done, Mike.
Yeah.
Bravo.
So I have. I'm going to save the other questions so we can use it somewhere down the line.
Excellent.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's some more. There are things that are coming down the road with Walt Disney World and Run Disney that I'm going to save and ask those questions. So thank you very much to both of you for your candid answers.
Thank you.
We will...
We laughed. We cried. It became a part of us.
Became part of us.
Yes.
And so far, Chris... Eliopoulos. Remember, he's Irish, too.
Yes.
Eliopoulos. And for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the roads and in the parks.
Well, what percentage of us are going to be seen in the parks? From the waist down, from the neck down.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.